93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Just when we had thought things had turned around.
And now Marcus has only got Curtis to aim from the middle, looking to the far post, Curtis! Ronan Curtis heads the ball into the net!
The Rovers returned with a devastating comeback.
Here comes the corner in, swing to the near post, it's loose, and it's into the back of the net! And Bristol Rovers have got an equaliser!
It was a freak own goal which levelled proceedings at the Memorial Stadium on Saturday, despite a much improved Pompey performance throughout the majority of the game. But the Blues failed to turn on the gas and remain alight until the final whistle, and were therefore punished. So it's another game which has left us all wondering. 18 shots but only 5 on target. What needs to change to ensure Pompey start putting away more chances? Was the weekend's result a consequence of wild misfortune or purely poor game management? And how important could a rejuvenated Ronan Curtis be for the Blues this season? The Irishman was back amongst the goals on Saturday. As ever, it's 81400 on the text. It's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails or at expressfm on Twitter. You've got between now and 7 to get your thoughts and questions into the panel. A very warm welcome to you, as always. This is the Rovers Review right here on the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome once again to the Monday Football Hour here on Express FM, sponsored this season by Stagecoach across the South Coast. Find out all about fares, timetables, routes over on their website, stagecoach.co.uk. Let's not beat around the bush, then. It's time to get straight into the thick of it. And we go straight to turning back to the Blues' most recent outing. And we go back to Saturday, 3 o'clock, as Kenny Jackett's side made their way to the southwest to take on a Bristol Rovers side who had lost their previous two matches by 2-0. Commentary of this one from Memorial Stadium with Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
We are underway here at the Memorial Ground. And Sean Raggett has just flown in with a reckless challenge in the opening minute. Brown to close. It's 3 grey over there against 2 blue if they can work the ball into the box. Evans onto his right foot, wants to deliver towards the near post. Flicked on by Curtis. Loose. Marcus to trying to get there. Is he going to bounce it? No, it's hit the post. But the free kick. No, a penalty's been given to Portsmouth. Gareth Evans. Take the penalty for Portsmouth, scored twice here in his Portsmouth career. Evans with his right foot, scores! Evans punishes the foul in the penalty area. Keeper got a hand to it, couldn't keep it out. 9 minutes on the clock, it's Bristol Rovers 0, Portsmouth 1.
How many minutes?
9 minutes on the clock.
9 minutes on the clock. Great strike from Gareth Evans.
Pompey will break forward, and now there might be a counter-attack, and there's a 2-1, and Curtis has got the chance to play Marcus in, and Marcus is into the penalty area. John Marcus is left foot, and it's blocked behind, and a corner kick, and a glorious chance is wasted for Portsmouth. Cross comes to the far post, Raggett there, heading down, wonderful save! Brilliant save by the Bristol Rovers goalkeeper, and Raggett denied his first Portsmouth goal. Clark. For Bristol Rovers to the right-hand side. Here's a chance for a cross to come in. It's a decent one to the far post. Ogogo can't get on the ball. Naylor gets his head to it. It'll go out for a Bristol Rovers try. Goes back to Burgess. Lofted forward, looking for Marquis. Marquis to chase the ball. It's not a good clearance from Craig. And now Marquis has only got Curtis to aim from the middle. Looking to the far post. Curtis! Ronan Curtis heads the ball into the net. For the second year in a row, he's on the score sheet at the Memorial Stadium. Portsmouth have doubled their lead. Finally a goal from open play. Bristol Rovers 0, Portsmouth for two. Chip towards the far post. It's a good delivery. Forces on the first header. Lost it back into the area. Header on goal. Loose in the box. Shot comes in. Drilled into the net. Alex Rodman. Bristol Rovers have their goal back. Alex Rodman firing in with his left foot, his second of the season. It's Bristol Rovers 1, Portsmouth 2. Here comes the corner in. Swing it to the near post. It's loose and it's into the back of the net. And Bristol Rovers have got an equaliser.
Own goal.
3 minutes into stoppage time. It's an own goal. And Portsmouth have thrown away a two-goal lead. Bristol Rovers 2, Portsmouth 2.
And it's cost them.
Final whistle goes. The Memorial Stadium celebrates like Bristol Rovers have won. Tom Naylor falls to his knees. It's his own goal, which has cost Portsmouth 3 points this afternoon. They threw a game away here late 2 years ago. They've thrown 3 points away here this afternoon. It is finished in League One. Bristol Rovers 2, Portsmouth 2.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of Pompey's frustrating 2-2 draw with Bristol Rovers at the weekend. After the game, Andy Moon went pitchside to speak to the manager, Kenny Jackett.
Kenny, a second Saturday in a row and a sucker punch in the 90th minute. How hard was that to take?
Yeah, and both from set pieces as well. If we're looking, you know, at ourselves, we got ourselves in obviously a very good position. You know, we were 1-0 up at half time and could have had more. The keeper had made a couple of great saves. Second period, they put a lot of pressure on us right at the start anyway, but it did seem as if we came through it and rode the storm a little bit, switched the play, you know, quite well, which you need to do against a back five, and ultimately then got a really good second goal with, you know, John's cross for Ronan Curtis and heading it in, and it did seem like we were in possession of, you know, a win for us. Then, you know, ultimately two set pieces, you know, Rodman's got the first from a wide free kick, and then in the 92-93 minutes, it's obviously gone in off Ross and you know, goes down as a known goal. I think it did probably hit the bar, hit the back of the keeper's head as well, has found its way into the net. So, yeah, two Saturdays in a row and definitely points lost rather than today anyway, a point gained.
How tough, because with 10 minutes to go, you must have been feeling reasonably good.
Yeah, you always know you need to see it out, and for Bristol Rovers, their crowd stayed positive right the way through, and it ultimately then has resulted in them attacking their end and, you know, snatching a point really out of a game it looked like they were going to lose and we were in control.
How worrying though, when it's a few times this season you've let late goals in like that.
It is, yeah, and as you said, you know, directly in the last two Saturdays where they've, you know, affected, you know, one point certainly at Wimbledon, where we played quite well, and today where, you know, there's a lot of good things about our performance, but ultimately, you know, it's wins that count, and you know, we've got 1 point out of six in those particular situations, and have to improve to be able to kill games off.
What can you do about set pieces? Is it as simple as, because it is two set pieces ultimately that have cost you, what can you do to stop that happening?
And similarly, Thomas's goal against Wimbledon as well. Maybe not give away so many free kicks, which is one thing, but I do want the players to compete, and you know, as the underdog side, you know, the likes of Wickham, Wimbledon, Bristol Rovers are going to get a lot of free kicks, they're going to get a lot of decisions against you, and then ultimately it comes in your box. That's where it is when you're playing for Portsmouth. But you know, for us anyway, you know, whether it's individual or whether it's tactical, we have to keep working away to try to, you know, eradicate those situations if we can.
Frustrating, because you must have felt if you'd got a win today after Tuesday, you'd have been building a bit of momentum.
Yeah, and it's a frustrating, you know, there's sometimes you're happy away from home with a draw and the way things work out, but not today. I did think we was in control. Obviously the 2-0 scoreline suggests that, but the performance did as well, where you know, it looked like at different times we rode the storm and given them, you know, very few chances, really clear-cut chances, and we could have been further up in the first half, but then you always know they're going to come at you in terms of the second period going into, you know, an end where they are traditionally very strong, and it looked like you know, with a second goal we'd done enough. Couldn't either get there first or concentrate or organise or a combination of all of those things to be able to see it through, which, you know, ultimately then it's turned from 3 points into one.
Just find a couple. Ronan Curtis is recall and a goal for him.
Yeah, and you know, for Ronan and Ryan, there was good threat on the wings today. You know, I was pleased with that. For Marcus, he has to just, you know, Marcus Arnas, just draw breath a little bit and be able to go again, which he can, and compete for those three places behind the striker, which, you know, is Gareth Evans, another good performance today. And as you say, for Ronan anyway, hasn't done him any harm in terms of a game or two out, but good to see in terms of his performance and his goal. Hopefully that can, signal the, you know, start of a good run of form and hopefully then, you know, assists and goal scoring form.
Lastly, how frustrating does it just feel this season? Any time you feel like you might start to build momentum, you think of games like Coventry, Wimbledon today, it just gets stopped by moments like this.
It does, but it's up to us to, you know, recognise, you know, where we are and what we need to do to improve it. Ultimately, yes, it is frustrating, and a lot of effort in there by the players today, and a winnable performance. And yes, it is frustrating.
Kenny Jackett there with his thoughts following Saturday's result, a 2-2 draw, which felt like a defeat for most Pompey fans out there. OK, it's time now to welcome in this evening's panel then. And first of all, I'd like to welcome back Mr. Ivan Prothero. Ivan, thank you for joining us tonight.
Not at all, thank you very much.
And ready to go alongside him this evening, Danny Parkinson. Danny, good evening.
Yeah, good evening, Jake. Thanks for having me back. Looking forward to it. Lots to discuss tonight.
What makes you say that? Right, let's get into it then. Ivan, let's talk about Saturday. It's another weekend where the Blues have dropped points at the dying embers of the match.
Yeah. It wasn't 9-0, but it wasn't great, was it?
No.
Look, the thing is, again, we're in a winning position and it's difficult to take positives from it because, let's not hide the fact we've thrown them away.
Yeah. I've mentioned there, at least it wasn't 9-0, Danny. It wasn't the worst performance of... Well, actually, no. To be fair, I'll put it out there. It was a fantastic performance up until probably the 70th or 75th minute. But put them outside just for now. We'll get to that later on. At least we didn't lose 9-0.
No, of course not. And actually, as you said, the final 12 minutes was completely disproportionate to the first 78. Yeah. You know, it was a really good performance. When you look back at the likes of Gillingham, Bolton, Lincoln at home, you know, we've covered those games and they were awful games as a spectacle. Yeah. You know, no entertainment. This game, we've got chances. You know, we're looking at it coming off thinking Pompey should have scored four or five potentially. Mm. So, obviously, we'll discuss the last 12 minutes later on. But actually, as a performance... I thought it was good.
Let's go over some positives then, Ivan, because there were plenty of them, as me and Danny have just touched on there, because it was a really good performance up until kind of Bristol Rovers got their first goal back at the Memorial Stadium, and really right from back through to the attack, really. It was just an all-round really good team performance, and that's something that we have missed.
Yeah, it really was. I think Brown's crossing really took me to surprise how good that was mm-hmm. as well. I think we often forget how good quality he can be in those positions. It's just... you just look at it. We had the two chances from the two centre-backs with headers as well, which could easily have gone in as well. You could argue we were unlucky, but then the goalkeeper had quite a good game considering as well. Game. But, yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, you think as well, McGivory's had nothing to do up until this, honestly, nothing to do at all. And when you think back of the games against Coventry, you know, they got nine men and we're inviting pressure on. We're sitting on the edge of our penalty area just saying, you know, we'll try and hold this two-goal lead, and we ended up giving that away. I didn't feel we did that.
No.
We actually still took the game to them, and even when it's 2-1, there's another chance that Pompey had, which could have made it 3-1 to extend the lead. So it wasn't a case of, let's sit back and invite pressure yet again.
I thought we actually really well set up defensively, Danny, and Christian Burgess, Sean Raggett have set up this really, really good defensive partnership over the last couple of weeks, and I think they've really grown into each other, and in particular Sean Raggett, who has really proved a lot of doubters wrong and come out there and played superb.
Yeah, we spoke about that last time, didn't we, in terms of, you know, at the start of the season, Kenny didn't really know what his ideal centre-back partnership was, but now we've had a couple of games together with Burgess and Raggett, and as you say, starting to create this really good partnership, and he's looking a lot more steady, still very, what's the word... When he gets on the ball, it sort of he goes long every time, and you can hear the groans in the crowd. He just needs a little bit more composure. But then Burgess alongside him is the ball-playing centre-back. But the worry, though, still for me, is these set pieces, and I touched on it in the interview there. You know, every time the ball comes into our box, we look shaky.
Well, do you know what? I thought we dealt well with set pieces on Saturday at Bristol Rovers, and it wasn't until their first goal, before it went in, Guy Whittingham on commentary actually jinxed it for Pompey and said that Pompey had been dealing well with set pieces throughout the entire game. But I thought what really worked on Saturday, Ivan, and really held the game together was Tom Naylor in the middle. I thought he was brilliant. He chased down every single ball. He was alert to everything. He's winning the ball back in front of the defence. He's linking the defence up with the attack, picking the right passes. We've missed that. We spoke so often about how perhaps disproportionate the defence is to the attack and how they're not linking up properly. And we have sat here and criticised a few times off the midfield and how we have gone missing at times. But Saturday, I think Tom Naylor and Ben Close, in fairness to Ben Close as well, both put in a really good shift, and I think that really was important.
Yeah, certainly with Naylor, I can't argue with that at all. I think he's starting to look like the glue that, like you said, connects the defence and midfield and gets the strikers going. He looks physical as well, which is what I thought was most impressive about him. If we need to win the ball back, he looks like the man to do it.
He leads by example as well. Yeah. And he was, against Lincoln last week, he was the best player on the pitch by a mile. Mm. Absolute mile. He was brilliant.
And also, it was adding numbers to the defence, which we've seen over the weeks. We've sat here and we've said, but perhaps we're sitting too deep. We've got too many back and not enough forward. But Saturday again, Danny, was an example of how things perhaps have changed, because Tom Naylor and Ben Close working really well together to, I don't know, somehow it just looked like we had loads at the back, but then at the same time, we counter-attacked really, really quickly. And we looked a threat.
Yeah,
we looked a real threat going forward.
We did counter-attack brilliantly, and it goes back to a couple of missed chances. One of them in particular, the Marquise chance, where, you know, it's come from our own penalty area, a couple of passes, and like we're talking about, Naylor threads it through, and it's into Curtis, and he plays it across to Marquise. He's in one-on-one, and that started our own penalty area, and we haven't really seen that all season. And he's now, Kenny's bringing in the likes of McCrory at right-back to try and give us that extra bit of width down the right-hand side, because as you touched on, Ivan, the left-back is brilliant, Brown. He bombs forward. It's the quality of his final ball's really good, so we just need to try and get that bit on the right-hand side as well.
Frustrating as well, Ivan, because we had a chance on Saturday to build on last week's win against Lincoln as well. String together a couple of consecutive victories, get up the table, but it just wasn't to be.
Yeah, there's just no momentum being built at all. I do feel sorry for them this week. I thought, until conceding that goal, it was one of the most balanced performances we've seen, really. I think, like we touched on there, the counter-attack was spectacular at times. It's just frustrating we can't merit the win, which I think, to be fair, we probably deserved.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
That goes back to missed chances, though, again, doesn't it? As I said, when we were 2-0 up, we were far superior, right on top of them. And we've had the chances. Marquise, as I touched on, he also had the header. You think he's got to score that. Raggett had that header. Great save from the goalkeeper.
That was,
still,
yeah.
You know, lots of chances that just puts the game out of sight.
And we're going to be talking about what quite went wrong on Saturday. Missed chances, substitutions as well. Tired legs out there as well. We're fast approaching 20 past six, which means it's time for a quick break. And it's a perfect opportunity for you to get involved back home as well. What do the Blues need to do in order to make sure more chances are being taken in front of goal? Would you welcome a return to the 4-4-2 formation? Or perhaps you'd like to see John Marquis switched out for Ellis Harrison? What do you put the weekend's collapse down to? Were Pompey simply unlucky, or do you pin the blame on elsewhere? And how important could Ronan Curtis prove to be for the Blues this season? He's had a few games watching from the sidelines, but certainly proved on Saturday how good he can be on his day. The ways to get involved are as follows. It's 81400 on the text. Start each message with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or even find us on Twitter at expressfm. And we'll be back in just a few moments to read those out. Your thoughts and questions too. So stick around, as we've got plenty more of the discussion on the way as well, right here on the Monday Football Hour on Express FM.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Fortune have found a way yet again.
This is,
you want to believe it,
Pompey Live.
After Pompey's 1-0 win over Lincoln at PO4, the destination for Pompey in their next fixture is Memorial Lane. Bristol Rovers are the hosts for the League One fixture. Can the Blues make it two wins on the trot? Find out and join us for all the unmissable action this Saturday from 2 p.m. It's Bristol Rovers versus Pompey on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars. This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the show, which of course is being driven to you by Stagecoach across the South, who offer adult day rider tickets at a discounted price of £4.10. All you have to do is download the app, which can be found on either the Apple app or Google Play stores. And just to confirm, Pompey are not away to Bristol Rovers this weekend. My apologies there for the previous advert. We'd love to go back and replay that game, wouldn't we? Try and get the result that we the result that we wanted, but we are at home to Oxford this Saturday, so do join us from 2 p.m. on a Saturday. Okay, if you're only just tuning in to us, myself, Ivan and Danny are here to dig a little deeper into this weekend's 2-2 draw at Bristol Rovers, which has happened, and tonight we are asking you back home to get involved. What do the Blues need to work on to make the most out of the chances that are being created? What went wrong on Saturday? Can we pin it down to misfortune, or was it a tactical failure? And have we seen a rejuvenated Ronan Curtis? How important could he be to the Pompey squad this season? 81400 is the number to text. Send us your name and message, starting with the word Express. It's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails, or at expressfm if you're active on Twitter. And we have quite a few emails coming in. Adam Swift with a couple. First of all, he says, we kept saying something has to change, but it's getting really boring now as it does go on and on. It's the same players, although, as I believe, Kenny Jackett is totally misusing them. I think formation has only a very tiny piece of the problem. It's more like the players do not seem to fit in any of the tactics. I still think a 3-5-2 gives us more flexibility and security. It still gives us the two up top, as people are crying out for, and a more compact central midfield. The defence has got an extra cover central defensive player, so it's quite really balanced. It just needs to be worked on. But we have had all pre-season and a series of experiments which just have not worked out. Along with a 3-5-2, we need some more substantial signings, especially in midfield. This pattern is not short-term, and it has been with us since around the last new year. Kenny has not addressed the issue adequately. There is no short fix at all. Alan in Southsea. Went in there, Ivan, on quite a few things there. Let's pick up a 3-5-2 formation, which he suggests then, and we spoke about formation over the last few weeks and how it's changed from a 4-2-3-1 to a 4-4-2. 3-5-2, could it work? I mean, you've got the two up front, you've got your two fullbacks as well, essentially.
I mean, quite possibly. Yeah, I mean, I think he raises a valid point. I think the defence would have cover there as well. He'd have enough quality going forward, and, you know, the midfield would be compact. But like he also touched on that email. It does get to the point where you can talk about formation, you can talk about lineup, but we are just going around in circles. It feels like we've tried almost everything. Yeah. Eventually, you've got to turn that corner, and I'm not convinced we have.
No. The disappointing thing is, Danny, is, you know, like Ivan says, we seem to touch on these things, and things seem to improve for a game or two. We have a decent performance, we grind out a win, and we have two or three games where we go unbeaten, but then it kind of turns on its head again, and we're back to square one, and things are just going round in circles sometimes, and you just kind of, where does it stop? are we going to go on a long winning run, or are we going to long losing run?
I think if we're going to go on a long winning run, now is the time, in terms of five of the next six being at home, and the one away is against struggling Rochdale. You know, we've got Oxford, Southend, Fleetwood, Rotherham, Peterborough. That's going to be the big one on the sixth game there. But just going back to your point, Ivan, I mean, personally, I don't think three at the back is the idea.
No.
I don't think that's the solution, because where's the cover out wide? I personally don't think we're good enough at the moment to have three central defensive.
It's a gamble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, where are Brown and who's going to play the other wing-back role? They're going to be flying forward. There's going to be no cover, and teams are going to exploit that straight away. I do agree that Marquise is isolated on his own up top, and that's where we still need to link that midfield player that can just sit in between the lines, pick up the ball, turn, thread that lovely pass through to Marquise. But on Saturday, you know, like I said, he could have had a hat-trick.
Yeah.
And we've counter-attacked, so he is getting the service. And
he's now getting the service.
We spoke before and said, is it the service? Is it not the service? Well, he did get that on Saturday, and he didn't put the ball in the back of the net. You know, like we hoped he would, as he was signed to be that man to do. But 3-5-2, not for me.
No. On Twitter, Ben Pay says, good technical footballer is needed, but Ben Close needs to be replaced with a more energetic, creative midfielder. Someone to carry the ball forward at pace. Andy Cannon. Naylor does the holding job. Close is not needed alongside him. Let's talk about Andy Cannon, Ivan. He is that attacking midfielder who, I can see it, you can see it, Danny's sat there laughing, he can see it, everyone on social media can see that Andy Cannon deserves to start a game for Portsmouth Football Club.
Doesn't
he? Why isn't he? Why is he not starting games?
Sorry,
yeah, then
he does it because Kenny doesn't trust the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Okay.
He's playing the formation he plays with the three behind Marquise. If we're going to be playing more attacking football and get further up the pitch, they're going to need to be higher up the pitch, which leaves a massive gap in between the defence and the midfield, and it's too much for Naylor to to sit there and cover it himself if Cannon is then part of one of those attackers as well. He just doesn't trust it. He wants that bank of four with the two sitting in front. It goes back to you saying off air, we're just too negative at the moment.
Yeah, and also going back on that, I can't actually see, we're going back on the formation, I couldn't see for Kenny Jackett playing that kind of formation anyway. I think it's too much of a risk for him to take.
Why not Andy Cannon in a central attacking midfield role? You mentioned there about not being in the actual midfield as such in front of the defence, but what if, you know, we stuck with Naylor and Ben Close in the middle with Andy Cannon in front? I know it's a bit harsh on Gareth Evans because he has proved himself in recent games, but if we're going to need to shut down these teams, it may be the way to go. There's so many different variations we could go
with. Yeah, of course there are. I think the two wingers will always play two of. I mean, we're going to talk about the likes of Ryan Williams later and the impact he's made. He's competing with Marcus Harness, competing with the back in form Ronan Curtis. So we've got a luxury there. And going back to your point about Gareth Evans, I think, again, he's just one that Kenny Jackett really trusts.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he never lets us down, does he?
Yeah.
He's put in the lovely ball there that's won us the penalty. He scored the penalty. He's the main threat from outside the box in terms of taking shots. He's our set-piece deliverer. He's the best we've got at delivering a set-piece. So I think from that point of view as well, Kenny's spoken a number of times about the importance of set-pieces. If we've got the best player sat on the bench for Andy Cannon, I just don't think he's going to drop him.
Speaking about going forward, then, because we briefly touched on it in the first part, Ivan, we created a lot more chances on Saturday. 18 shots, I think, we had on goal in the end, 5 on target. So the service is definitely improving.
Yeah.
And it was strange to see at the start of the game, because Marcus Harness was dropped to the bench, allowing Ronan Curtis and Ryan Williams to start, with Gareth Evans seemingly in the middle but switching out a couple of times. But actually, it worked. Which was strange, because Marcus Harness has undoubtedly been the standout performer of Pompey's team so far this season. Yet, without him in the team, we seem to create more.
Yeah, I think we did. But I think a lot of that comes down to, I think our best periods of the game were almost on the counter-attack. Mm. And I wonder whether it's more suited to maybe Ronan Curtis's game not having the ball as much and then breaking. Like you said, Harness has been fantastic this year, but... but maybe it might be better, especially away from home, having less possession and countering like that.
Let's talk about the wingers then, Danny, because I know you're itching to do that. We'll start with Ronan Curtis, first of all. A player who had been screaming out to have been rested, really.
Absolutely.
You know, started off the season, perhaps the end of last season as well, not quite hitting the same heights he did at the start of last campaign. I think he needed to be dropped, as such is a harsh way to put it. And he did. He had a few games. He came on as a sub against Wimbledon, against Lincoln as well. Started Saturday and he was a different player.
Yeah, he was. And like you say, the spell on the sidelines, he's like, it's invigorated him, you know. He looks a different player. It's been his best performance for some time. All the attacking threat that we saw at the start of last season, man of match performance, as you say. Mm-hmm. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. And going back to your point, Ivan, he gives us that little bit more of a defensive cover as well when we're not in possession of the ball, because he works so hard for the team and he's tenacious.
He's passionate.
He gets back, exactly. He wins the ball. And, you know, it's third goal of the campaign. And when you look at last season, when we think we had an amazing season, he scored 11 in 42 league goals. 11 in 42, and he's now on 3 in 11.
It's not bad return.
Exactly. No. So actually, I did the percentages earlier because I'm sad about that. But it's a higher percentage at the moment in terms of his goal ratio. And yet we think he's been awful this year.
He's certainly playing with a lot more confidence, Ivan. You know, things haven't helped. Not fans, I'm not agreeing with Ronan Curtis, you know, perhaps tweeted a few weeks ago, but, you know, that happened. You know, there's certainly not much love lost between certain people. But,
it did indeed, yeah.
But you know, forgetting about that, he's playing with a lot more confidence, and he was a handful. And I think something that I noticed on Saturday is that he's starting to cross quicker with his left foot, as opposed to really what was predictable, cutting in, trying to force it in with his right foot, trying to burst into the box. Actually, I think now he's not rushing it, but he's actually exploring different routes to get it into the box.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it just comes down to confidence, but yeah, it seems like he takes that one touch less that maybe makes him that a lot more dangerous. He really does look like a good option for us at the moment.
Sorry, I was just saying, a lot of people have been saying it was the Ireland call-up last year. Started the season blistering form, wasn't he? He was scoring or assisting in every single game. He got the big call up, and it was almost since then he's been sort of saying, well, I'm playing in League One,
yeah,
and I'm an Ireland international. Maybe he took his eye off the ball a little bit, yeah, but he's had that time out. He's come back. And also, you were talking about getting the ball in a little bit quicker. That's one thing Kenny said this week. He likes players to go on the outside as well, because you just said, Ivan, every time he got it, first thought, can I cut inside, yeah, and then cross? Whereas
everyone found him out.
Exactly, that predictability. Actually, go around the outside as well. Use your left foot, get it in.
But you're right. You look at a guy who's in League One, as you say, and think, he's an international.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many teams have that, but you know, you've got to utilise a player like that.
Stephen Jerome on the emails. Good evening, Stephen. He says, hi guys, it wasn't the best result on Saturday against Bristol Rovers, but at least we didn't lose. I think we really have to be more clinical in front of goal and take more of our chances. Again, we had 18 efforts at goal and only 5 on target. It really has to improve if we want to climb up the table any higher. That said, we were 2-0 up and we should be professional enough to see to be able to see the game out and when we're in a winning position. It was great to see Curtis get back into the team, and that goal will boost his confidence, I think. I feel for McGilvery, it was just unlucky for him that the ball came off the bar and hit the back of his head. You can work every day on defending set pieces, but you cannot legislate for something like that. There is a positive to take from it. At least we didn't lose it 9-0. And we got a point from a game, unlike another certain team down the road, Stephen Fratton. Really unfortunate on Friday night for that team to not to have drawn a game, but an emphatic victory for Leicester City, nonetheless. And we'll talk about the own goal quickly, Ivan. It was really unfortunate. You know, we'll talk in the next part of the show about, you know, the last 12 minutes of the game and how things perhaps could have been improved and things could have been different, but it really was a massive fluke, because I think it's come off McCrory's heel, it's hit the bar, it's hit McGilvery's head, it's gone in.
Yeah, there's a lot of defensive issues you can dissect there, but I think there's now what you can do when the ball comes in like that and it goes off his head. It's, you know, he wasn't aware it's going there. I don't think he's, you know, to blame in that situation at all, really. No.
Let's talk about the other winger then, Danny. Ryan Williams, the Australian magician. He's come into the side the last couple of weeks. You know, he started the season with hit with injury. I don't think many people perhaps would have expected him to be one of our standout performers, but I've got to hand it to him. The chances he's been given, he's really asserting himself now to be one of the first names on the team sheet.
Yeah, exactly. Third successive start in League One. And as you say, start of the season, you know, when he joined us, he had a massive injury, hip flexor injury. It's a really difficult one. He's worked his way back, and as Kenny was saying, he just needs time. But, you know, he's raising the bar with each performance, is how Kenny Jackett described him this week. And he's got pace. He offers us that pace. He also is the one, I feel, out of all the wingers, he runs at the man and takes them on and tries to go inside, outside. And he's a real threat, a real handful for us. And I think Harness has been really unlucky, as you said earlier, for him to be dropped.
Yeah.
He was probably one of the standout performers for the first, you know, 8-10 games. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. But Williams now is almost looking undroppable.
Another player who's come into the frame, Ivan, the last few weeks. Again, another player who hit with a little bit of an injury. Not many people have expected him to have been one of the first names on the team sheet, but he is now. Ross McCrory, not playing in central midfield, but as right back. What do you take of that? Because I think he's taken the chance well.
Yeah, do you know what? He looks solid to me. What I think strikes me most of him is his composure on the ball more than anything. I think that's maybe not an issue, but it's an area of the pitch we've maybe looked a little bit light on. I think he's adapted well. But the problem is, I think what he has is, I can't particularly see him getting in the defensive midfield position over Naylor.
No.
So it's good for him that he's found somewhere else that he can slot into.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to counter that, Ivan. I've been really disappointed with him. Yeah? Really disappointed. Couple of my friends, big Rangers fans, and when we signed him, they said, my goodness, you have got a hell of a player on your books there.
But they're talking about having
couldn't believe they'd let him go.
Cancelling the loan and things, weren't they?
Well, they've got a recall option in January, so it'll be really interesting to see if he does end up going back. But, you know, he made 20 appearances for Rangers last season. They played in the Old Firm derby. He was the man of the match in December. Came off one of the players underneath, but he's got the potential to be one of the best midfielders Rangers have ever had. And I'm reading this thinking, is this the same player I'm watching on the Saturday afternoon? You know, I've been really disappointed with him. I'm hoping it's just a case of he needs a bit of time as well. It's a different league. Is it a really big drop in standard? I don't know what the Scottish Premiership is comparison to League One, but like I say, when I heard about this and everyone was saying he's so good, I thought, brilliant, this is just what we need in the centre of midfield alongside
Naylor. First game of the season, gets sent off.
Exactly. So, yeah. I've been really disappointed.
Let us know what you think on VAT back home. 81400 on the text. Start each message with the word Express. It's at ExpressFM on Twitter, Pompey at ExpressFM.com on the emails. Do you agree with Danny? Has Ross McCrory lived up to his potential, or do you think he's been playing really, really well since he's gone back into the team at right back? James Bateman on the email says, we need to put Harrison up front with Evans just behind him, and Kenny needs to give Andy Cannon a run out. Let's go back to Saturday's game in. Oh no, we've got another email coming in. Loads of them coming in tonight, as you can imagine. Chris in Italy, evening chaps. If we look at Kenny's record at Wolves, Millwall, and even playing at Watford, his head is all about the defence. I don't see him trusting an attacking midfield setup. It is just him. While he is there, it's just not. It is what is, unless, I don't know what that's meant to mean, but John Marquis, whose praise I've been going on about, let me down. Okay, he could argue from famine to feast. That's why he blew so many chances. As we go into November, the good news is that there are no free teams ripping up trees to get the auto promotion by Christmas. This Pompey team could come right, but please, please, Kenny, get Cannon on as a starter and give Ben Close a Curtis rest. He puts in quote marks, roll on Oxford. I may even buy an iPlayer ticket for this Saturday, Chris in Italy. Let's talk about that Ben Close point then, Ivan. I've mentioned it a few times in the last few weeks. I don't want to keep banging on about it, but it's the same thing every week. Does he need what Chris has just called a Curtis rest? Because we see it with Ronan Curtis. He's had a few games out and he'd come back with a much better player. Could that be the same for Ben Close?
I think it does. Yeah, I think it does. Don't get me wrong, he's got a lot of potential, but he's still quite a young man. I just worry a little bit about how we're going to fare over 90 minutes. He has periods where he looks quite good and that's quite dangerous, but I'm not sure every side to his game is good enough at the moment. I think there are a lot of players that could certainly challenge him at the time being for starting.
Yeah. Okay, don't forget to get involved back home if you're dying to get something off of your chest. All the usual ways to get in touch between now and 7, text Express followed by your name and message to 81400, email Pompey at expressfm.com or send us a tweet at expressfm. Where did it all go wrong on Saturday? 2-0 up with 12 minutes to go. Was it misfortune or was it purely a tactical error from the management? Let us know your thoughts on those matters and join us again in just a few moments when the Football Hour continues and reaches its third and final part here on the only radio station that is passionately Pompey, Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and welcome back for the final time this evening to the Monday Football Hour here on Express FM, brought to you by our friends over at Stagecoach Buses. Download their app today on either the Apple app or Google Play Store and find out more information on what they have to offer over at stagecoach.co.uk. We are quickly creeping up to the closing minutes of this evening's show, so I'm giving you all one final chance to get your thoughts and questions into us before we leave for the night. The number to text is 81400 using the word Express at the start of each message. It's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails or at expressfm on Twitter. Let's go to a few of the emails. Graham Wilkins says, hi all, reading the news today, but Kenny Jackett says he didn't make any substitutions because he wanted to slow the game down, but when you're 2-0 up, surely you want to add fresh legs to give more impetus to the team. Just very negative management in my eyes, and a bit like Coventry at home when winning versus 9 men and bringing on a defender when it was crying out for fresh strikers. Not sure what is going on in his head at the moment. Still a nice easy game versus Oxford United this Saturday, play at Pompey. We won't look too much ahead to Oxford on Saturday, Danny, but I do hope, Graham, you're being sarcastic with that last comment, because Oxford United this Saturday at home, Danny, a team who I believe have scored 32 goals this season.
Yeah, it's not the ideal fixture that you want after a result like that, is it? But like I said, we're at home, though, and believe it or not, despite our form this season, we are still unbeaten at home in the league. So
one loss in the last 15 altogether as well.
Exactly, yeah. And that, you know, going forward, as I said before, this is our opportunity now. If we're going to put a run together, this is when we're going to do it, really. But, you know, talking about, Ivan, you can talk about the substitutions in a minute, but the points that Pompey have dropped because of these late goals, I mean, it's cost us 6 points so far. Mm-hmm. If you look at the likes of, obviously, Bristol at the weekend, the Wimbledon 93rd minute defeat, Coventry that we've alluded to, and even the one at Wickham that was, I think, the 83rd minute or something, had we gained all those points, we'd be one place outside the playoffs.
With two games in hand.
In hand on Coventry in sixth place. So you mentioned last time was on, is it too late now to turn our season around? I still don't think it is too late. No. I think if we can get, of those six games we've got coming up, if we can string some wins together, we will be flying up that table. And as someone who just emailed in a minute ago, sorry, I can't remember their name, that said there are no real standout runaway leaders at the moment. I think teams are there to be caught.
Yeah. It was game number 13 for the season for Pompey, but quite unlucky, I guess. But against the team, Bristol Rovers, who had lost their two previous games 2-0 on Tuesday night against Bolton as well, their first win since March. You really had hoped that when 2-0 up, we weren't going to throw that away. And how did we throw it away? Because we weren't really sitting back and inviting pressure, Ivan. We actually were still going for the game. It still looked within our control until they got that goal back. But even so, we still looked decent. And as Danny's just mentioned, the Coventry game, yeah, it's another game where we've dropped two huge points. But it was different because we didn't sit back. We didn't invite pressure. We didn't make substitutions. And that's what everyone's a bit frustrated about.
Yeah, I think you've both hit the nail on the head, to be perfectly honest. We did play well, which I think is a huge difference to those performances. And in all honesty, the two goals really came from basics. It's defending set pieces, which arguably is a lot more frustrating. And like you said earlier in the programme, the counter-attack that we could have gone on even when that we conceded was, you know, we easily could have scored off that as well. But there's something fundamental that we don't seem to trust ourselves in the last sort of 10 minutes defensively, and that's more of a concern for me more than anything.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's what I was going to say next point in terms of, is it concentration or is it confidence? Yeah. And you can't really say it's concentration in terms of the fitness levels of these players are fantastic. So it's got to be entering that last 10 minutes. As we've dropped points against, we've seen it against Coventry, we've seen it against Wimbledon, and when Bristol got that goal, I, for one, started thinking, oh no, here we go again.
We
saw it last season, Southend 3-0 up away from home, and you're thinking,
it's just to remind us.
Oh no, I'm sorry. But yeah, is it confidence? I mean, I saw Dean Ashton this week piping up about Pompey, saying that there must be something mentally wrong within the squad. Because if you're 2-0 up with 70 minutes played, you can't be conceding two goals. You've got to see that game out. And I saw a couple of fans had mentioned towards the end of the game, why are the likes of Marquise not running it into the corner, wasting time? Why are we still trying to attack and not see the game out, really? Is it game management? I don't know, but I honestly think it just comes back to that confidence factor again.
Can you pin it down to the lack of a substitute, Danny, in the closing stages of the game? Because you kind of can't help but feel that a 91st minute sub when 2-1 up against a team who have been, they were battering us for the last 15, 20 minutes. As soon as they got that kind of consolation goal to make it 2-1, they knew that we were there for the taking. Yeah. Did we need to bring on some fresh legs in the midfield in front of the defence to really break the game down, really stop the momentum of Bristol Rovers and get some fresh legs on? Do you think that helped, or rather didn't help to the game?
That's two parts, I think, of this. I agree with Kenny in terms of don't make substitutions for the sake of making substitutions. But if players are tiring, absolutely. I mean, the good thing for me was that it wasn't like the Coventry when you brought Christian Burgess on just for the sake of bringing on another defender, and that backfired spectacularly. I think he learned his lesson on that one. So
maybe he's still scarred from that.
Potentially, yeah, absolutely. Because if he will have known once that goal went in, we are up against it for the last however many minutes, and he didn't react. And I know that's your main point, Jake, as to why you think we didn't see this game out, is the substitutions. But up until then, what would you have changed? If you're Kenny now, what would you have changed on 75 minutes?
And that's the thing, though. I mean, if we saw the game out and having not made any subs, everyone would have gone fantastic. That was a great decision from Jacket for not changing up what was working. However, you flip it on his head and we concede and everyone goes, ooh.
You can't change the two centre-backs. You know, yes, we conceded two goals, but they've had a good game.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The full-backs, again, I think they played well. Mm-hmm. So who are you changing? You're not taking Naylor off because he's best player on the pitch, pretty much. It is Ben Close, maybe. Do you bring him off? But then who are you replacing him with? Are we just doing it to break the game down? Are we doing it to waste a little bit of time? Or
I suppose it's a case of you can't really win either way, can you? I think no. You mentioned there you kind of hit the nail on the head with Christian Burge at Coventry. Maybe Jacket has kind of seen or kind of used that as experience to kind of, okay, well, in that case, I'll see the game out with a team who have been winning the game up till now, and why fix what isn't necessarily broken? We can sit here and say we should have done this, should have done that, but it's a difficult one to kind of digest, isn't it? Who do you bring on as a defensive
cost
player?
Us the game? It's two set pieces. One of them, as you say, so unfortunate. It's taken a deflection. It's an own goal, pretty much. It's a complete fluke. Could we have done more to stop that foul? Yes. You know, we could have stood up outside rather than jumping into Carl Bennett, bringing the foul and the added pressure of another ball into our box. But as you said, had we not conceded from set pieces, we'd come away saying great result.
How do we tackle defending set pieces then, gents? Because it is something that is a bit of a sticking point for Pompey this season, isn't it? How do we improve on that? Because we've mentioned the centre-backs and how they've been playing really well and how you can't really move them at the moment. But if they're not defending set pieces, what needs to change in respect to them in order to stop that from happening?
Jake, if I knew the answer, I'd be a
I think Liam threw me this question on Saturday.
Yeah,
and I
ring Kenny. But I say it every week on commentary, watching it, I'd say, oh no, it's a dangerous opportunity here for the opposition to put the ball in the box, because I get nervous every time they do. I don't know what the issue is.
But these things are basics. These things are things they should be ironing out early on in the season on the training ground. You know, if a ball's coming in, you should know who you're marking. You should know where your position is going to be. It's just like you just said, you don't have the confidence in us that they're confident enough to keep these balls away.
Do you think team chemistry may be lacking, Daddy? Because we saw it in the season we won League Two, the entire squad looked to really be on level terms with each other, apart from that incident at home to Stevenage. But is it a case of perhaps not everyone's on the same wavelength? Does communication need to improve?
Potentially communication, but I feel like I'm disagreeing with you everything tonight, Jake. But I think the squad is together. I mean, Ronan Curtis mentioned it in his interview. He said that, you know, the squad's brilliant. We've just got to keep that confidence, and it will turn for us. You know, we're so close, and we spoke about it last time that this squad is capable. When it clicks, we are going to start hurting a lot of teams. So I don't think it's that. I think they're all still playing for the manager. Yeah.
It's so hard to try and put your finger on why we're not building momentum. Looking a little ahead to Saturday, then, Ivan, Oxford at home, a team who have been free scoring this season. They're going to look a real threat to Pompey at Fratton Park on Saturday. But have you got the confidence in the defence, okay, taking away the two goals on Saturday against Bristol Rovers, to kind of try and see out, I'm not necessarily saying clean sheet, but, you know, restrict them to as many goals as possible?
Oh, I certainly hope so.
You'd go with the same defence as Saturday, the back four.
I think it's more dangerous switching up different people in the back. I think he's found a back four which he trusts. I think the best thing to do is stick to that for the time being. If they can work some chemistry up together, then fantastic. Again, other than the two set pieces, you know, we wouldn't have conceded a goal. So let's take the... I know it's difficult, but we'll take the positives where we can.
I think it's really important on Saturday. We've got to get the fans back on side. It's imperative that we create that entertainment factor once again. We saw it on Saturday with creating chances. We haven't seen that at Fratton Park. Lincoln game was poor. Gillingham was dire. You know, I felt sorry for fans that paid a lot of money to go and watch that and then not being entertained. We need to get them back on side. Create those chances, I say, and then the results will come.
Paul on Twitter says, I can't believe how fickle our fans are. 1 minute a player is slaughtered like he's a panel beater, the next minute he's a world beater, or vice versa. Fans need to be more reasonable. Most players are inconsistent. Expectations need to be realistic. We have 7 out of 9 League One games at home in the next few weeks. A great opportunity for Pompey to mount a late run up the table before the turn of the new year. How important could turning Fratton Park into a fortress be, Ivan, this season?
Absolutely crucial. I think it comes down to that more than anything. You've got to rely on your home being a fortress. If we can't, you know, we're not seeing games out, especially on the road. So yeah, it's fundamental.
Stella on the text says, Kenny seems to be Kenny seems to me to be so slow on the uptake. He always shuts the door after the horse has bolted, i.e. he puts the subs on too late, according to Stella. And Carol in Hailing Ireland says, Kenny Jackett does not recognise a 4-4-2, which is why he insists on playing 4-2-3-1 every time. Just quickly on Saturday then, Danny, in terms of going forward, a lot of opportunities created on Saturday for Pompey. Would you stick with the same sort of lineup on Saturday? John Marquis up front, Harness still on the bench with Curtis and Williams?
Yeah, I think the front three or four have done enough from last week to cement their place again. It's a lovely problem to have, though, when you've got the likes of Marcus Harness sat on the bench potentially coming on. So those are the changes. And people keep saying about Andy Cannon, you know, is it an opportunity for Andy Cannon to play? But he's not going to go away from the close and Naylor midfield, is he? But yeah, of course, really good opportunity against a good side. And as I say, we've just got to get the fans back on side, enjoying turning up to Fratton Park in their numbers. Getting that entertainment factor back.
Do you see Marquis starting on Saturday quickly, Ivan? Would you like to see him given the opportunity again? Or is it time for Ellis Harrison maybe to come into the frame?
No, I'd stick with John Marquis. I think confidence is huge for him as well.
A quick score prediction going on Saturday then, Danny, before we won't see you till then.
Put me on the spot here. I think both teams to score. Pompey to win, 2-1.
Ivan, very quickly.
3-1.
3-1, 2-1. I'm going to go for a 3-1. I'm going to stick with Ivan on that one. Okay, so that is all we've got time for this evening, I'm afraid. Thank you to everyone for joining us tonight throughout the entire hour. Thanks to Ivan Prothero, Danny Parkinson for joining me tonight. It's safe to say it's been an interesting hour. And an hour, of course, that's been made better by all the interaction of you listening back home. Big thanks to all of you who listened in and made use of the text, tweets and emails. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, on the way for you lovely lot tonight, Mason Jordan is here next with the biggest and greatest music from our local talented artists. The Soft Rock Show is back this evening from 8 o'clock and Jeff is riding solo for this one. Phil Swern and Jimmy Constable will be joining him for 2 hours of chat and great soft rock music through till 10. Mason is back bright and early again from 6am with the Portsmouth Breakfast Show, where he'll be chatting to Alpha Beat, playing the latest hit music, providing all the sport, travel and weather updates, and bringing you the Express Rewind from 9am as well. And don't miss the 48-hour Express Radio Marathon. That's happening this week. Mason will be here between 8am on Wednesday and 8am Friday, and all in aid of three great charities, all call signs, Portsmouth Hospitals Trust and Pompey in the Community. Find out more information on what's happening during the marathon, more on those charities and how to donate over at expressfm.com. And be sure to be tuned in because it's going to be a great 48 hours of radio. I'm back on Friday for a preview of this weekend's tie at home to Oxford United. But until then, have a great week, stay chirpy and play up Pompey.